So what we're going to do is, we're going to get started. We're going to get started. And again, you know, last Sunday, Pastor, you know, he talked about marriage God's way. And, you know, he was talking about thriving in relationships. And somehow, sometimes people drive thrive in relationship based upon drama because this is their norm. And he told us that God has given us how to live in marriage his way. Somebody say his way. And in certain parts of the scripture, when the Bible starts talking about marriage, he's really not talking about so much marriage because he's not so much talking about marriage as he was talking about his relationship with the church. But we drafted from those illustrations that he gave us, and we pulled them and we incorporate them into our lives as to what a marriage should look like. Okay? And with that word marriage, we have to keep in mind that's not God's word. God did not come up with the word marriage. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why? Because God's language is what? What is the language of God? Talk to me. What is the language of God? The language of God is Hebrew. Okay? The language of God is Hebrew. And in the Hebrew language, we found that there is no such thing as a what? A vow. There's no such thing as a vow in the... Y'all learning something today, aren't you? But you could have told us that, couldn't you? I know you could have. You want to come up here and... You sure? Nephew, you know why... So, yeah, there are no vowels in the Hebrew language. And so what was translated from the language of God to what we call English, this is more modern English, but what we call English, the word came out to be what? Marriage. So what they took was the teachings of God. And they gave that word, the teachings of God on the subject, and they called it what? Marriage. So marriage is not necessarily God's word, but is a word that we understand throughout this world. If you say marriage in any language, everyone in the world knows exactly what you're talking about. So marriage is not just inclusive in Christianity. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is folks get married outside of God. Okay? Some folks get married outside. Some folks don't even regard God and they still do what? Get married. So there's nothing super spiritual about the word marriage. Now, what's super spiritual about the word marriage is it has to be done under the umbrella and the auspices of Almighty God Jehovah. Because when it's done under the Almighty, and I'm not saying you have to be perfect when you get married, but you need to at least know who Jehovah God is. And not just know who he is, but have him as your what? Your foundation, as your base. Because as Christians, when we go into this thing called marriage, we want to go into it whose way? God's way. Not the world's way, but whose way? God's way. So those of you who are looking to get married, make sure that God is your foundation. Make sure he is your base. Make sure that whoever you plan to marry, their base and foundation is the same as yours. A Christian should never marry a Muslim. I'm not knocking Muslims. I'm just saying a Muslim should never marry a Christian. Can we talk? Why? Because a Muslim is committed to who his God is and what his religious teachings are. A Christian is committed or should be committed to who their God is and who, what his teachings are. So consequently, if one worship a Baal or Hinduism and the other one is Christian, now I don't understand. Now I can almost see a Muslim and a Christian marrying, but I can't understand how a Hindu marry a Christian. I don't see how a Hindu marries anybody but a Hindu. Because Hindus believe in some of everything. They worship some of everything. So we shouldn't cross marry. And in the scriptures, God tells us that we shouldn't in some instances, because we know that there are some a men who God has sanctified for purpose and told them they could not marry foreign women. But they did it anyway. Amen. Told men they shouldn't marry foreign women. But what? Because of the lust of eye, the lust of the what? Flesh. And the pride, I should be able to marry who I want, the pride of life. They went on and did it. Are we talking in here this morning so far? Okay, so at intermission time, I'm going to ask, I might offer you some water because I want to get you recharged. Okay, so that we can be attentive and we can hear. Okay, so yeah, the other thing that happened was the good Reverend talked to us last night about loving your bride as Christ loved the church. And he talked to us sisters about being submissive to our husbands. Now, submissive is more of a spiritual state of being than what? A physical. Submission doesn't mean you're down here and he's up there. Submission means as long as you're following God and you're leading me into the things of God, then guess what? I'm submitted to you. Because truth be told, the scripture just before that tells us to submit ourselves to whom? One another. Okay? But we know in the household we can't have two chiefs. Because when the bills are due, one of the chiefs gonna step back. I don't want to be a chief. Call me a squaw. HTTR. Hashtag. Call me a squaw because it's not my job to pay the bills. Y'all, come on, y'all talk to me. That's not my job. When the car notes due and the insurance on the car due, you know, and honey, if we can't pay it, they're going to come get it. Well, you got nothing to do with that. And then I have my husband Tim say, honey, you only say that out of convenience. No, I fully believe that I'm persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that any money that I keep down in the cut, come on, y'all. You know, that's what your grand folks used to keep down in the cut. It's mine. We got a $300 water bill to do, and I got $300 down in the cut. Baby, what you going to do about that water bill? Now, granted, I'm not going to see him stressed, and I'm not going to let him turn my water off, but I ain't going to pull out my $300 because why? He's the chief, and I'm just an Indian. Amen. 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 I ain't going to take that back. I ain't taking that back. No, so Sabrina, I ain't taking that back. Now, I know you help them out, but every dollar you go to work for, guess what? It's supposed, that's something to the side. You want to be the chief? Let him be the chief. You want to call the shots? You want to referee? You referee. You know what I mean? You want to put on a striped shirt? Go ahead, put on a stripe. I don't have no problem with it. And then when it's my time to deliver, I'm going to deliver as long as I'm in good health. Y'all talk to me. I'm going to do what a good little wife's supposed to do. And I ain't going to act like Mother Teresa either. I don't know, baby. I don't do none of that. No, baby, what you want me to do? I'm your squad. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about no bill. That frees my mind up and frees my emotions up. Y'all supposed to talk to me. It frees me up to be able to be the wife you want me to be. And if you want me to worry about the bills and worry about the kids and worry about this, I don't have no time to be worried about you because I'm so worried about everything else. I'm spread so thin. All right. So let's move on. Oh, sorry. Amen. So, yeah, let's keep going. What happens when he talk about what happens when he loves her like Christ loves the church? There's some of the things that happen and you free her up. And my sisters and my daughters, those of you who and my sons, those of you who are looking to get married, I want you to glean from this message today. I want you to glean from this message today. Now, women, by no means do I say you see your husband struggling and you can do something to help out. You don't do it. No, you pitch in to help out. You stop going to Macy's. You stop going to Lord and Taylor's. You stop going. That's how you help out. You just stop going. Don't go broke because, you know, your grandma told you always have keep something in the kitty. You're not hiding anything from me. I told my husband years ago, I said, honey, I ain't hiding anything from you. Just always know I am not broke. Always know. I always got something, Sister April. I always got something. Keep something in the kitty. Maybe he might run broke one day. And guess what? You are now able to say, here, honey, don't worry about it. And when she gives it to you, don't ask her, how come you holding back? Don't ask her that. Because when you ask her that, next time she's going to see you bobbing up and down about to drown, and she's not going to be able to reach out and help you because you know you're going to complain about that too. Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to kind of do something a little practical here. We're going to do something a little practical. My man of God, amen. Can you stand up, my man of God? I tell you, that's a fine specimen of God's handiwork. My God. God just put you together all just right for me. He anointed him just right for me. Because you got to have a special anointing to deal with a person like me. Amen. You can't just deal with me in the flesh. You got to have Jesus on your side. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, he's going to help me out today. So what we're going to do, we're going to do something just a little practical. And most of us, if not all of us, went this route or we went a route similar to this. So what I'm going to ask him to do. So I'm going to wait. So. Yeah, I'm going to ask you to get started and you can come up here and get that done and just allow me to jump in periodically. And I think I work better from this side. Is that okay?
Yes, baby. Thank you. You know, say, we will accommodate you.
All right.
Your brother said amen.
Okay, you be
like
nice.
Left, I'm okay on the right.
Okay.
We're just going to do this together.
Amen. Okay, now all children should be in the back. If this is too heavy for your child, I want you to dismiss your child. But guess what? They know more than what you think. Amen. They know more than what you think they know. And on that note, allow them to come to you and ask you anything. I don't care what it's about. I don't care if it's about an alternate lifestyle. Let them ask you because they're only trying to figure out some of the things that they heard or something that they saw. Okay? Help us out.
Okay, we're going to get started. I can't tell you how many marriage ceremonies I've performed over the years, but I've performed quite a few. And we just wanted to do something practical. So I'm going to go through the ceremony of what I would normally say to a man and a woman as I'm performing the ceremony.
Okay, so as he's performing the ceremony, this is what I'm going to do. How many couples do we have in here, whether you are married or not, or you're thinking about getting married? Come on, and if you're here with your girlfriend or your guy friend and you don't raise your hand, they ought to get rid of you. Go, because they denying you already. They denying you already. Amen. 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 Okay. Amen. All right. That's right. Ray, you better let that man raise his hand, because there are some sisters looking around in the church to see if there are any good men available. So if he got his hands up, don't you put that brother's hand down. Let that man raise both his hands. You know, saying, I'm taking. I'm taking. Raise your hand. Amen. Okay, so this, and the reason I ask you this, how many of you, your husband, wife, significant other, paramour, they're here? Because what I will probably do, nephew, what was that? What was that? No, you didn't, nephew. You know you're an ordinary. I thought you'd do something like this.
No.
But that's all right. Don't put your hand up because I'm picking on you. Amen. Because you, at the end of the day, you got to know, brother. All right. And at the end of the day, you got to know my sister, my daughter. And if you don't know, you cut my nephew. You cut him so close. You cut him. You get you a nice sharp blade. And you cut straight down. Man, and you let him go. You understand? The moment you realize he's not for you, don't try to make it work. Don't try to change him, because you ain't changing that one. I know who his daddy is. Okay? Now, that's my nephew, and nephew, same for her. Amen. But, you know, y'all got a way of using game. You know what I mean? You want to keep him in the cut. Yeah. That's my nephew. I didn't talk to him. I love that boy. Amen. I've been knowing that boy before he knew about himself real good. Amen. So what I'm probably doing, I might use your nephew. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Let's give him a... So I might call you. And if I call you, I want you to come. And I don't know if what we're going to be doing is going to speak to an area of your relationship. But if it does, just go with it. Because we're only sharing truth with you today. We're sharing Jesus with you today. And can I say something to you about those of you who are dating? Or those of you who are planning to be married? If you know it's not what you really want, let it go till you know. And if you don't ever know, then thank God that he, you know, leave him or leave her. Because the worst thing you can do is bring two undone people together and call it what? Marriage. If he's not done and you're not done, you all are just going to produce a whole bunch of undone children. And then you're going to wonder why your children are running wayward and they seem like they don't understand. It's because of what you gave them. You didn't give them anything to start with. Amen. Okay. My nephew is going to be through with me, but he knows his Aunt Audrey loves him. Amen.
That's a good teacher.
Yes, that's my, yeah.
That's a good teacher.
So it was Amber and all of them a couple of weeks ago, nephew. Now it's your turn.
You're just going down the line.
Yeah, I'm going down the line. The line.
This is good stuff. And I'll give you an offering if I...
No, you can give me an offering, babe. What you want to give me? I'll take it. You got a blank check back there, too. And guess what? I don't give no offerings and nothing on the money he gives me. What he gives me is mine. That's mine.
You might have to come get her.
Amen. Go ahead. Let's go.
This is good.
So we're going to go through this, and I want you guys to follow along.
Okay. As I said, if I'm performing the marriage ceremony, these are some of the things that I would
Okay, so can I get the EKs to come on up here? Yeah, come on. So you can put their names
in the
spot when they come. Okay.
Kelly.
Yeah. Okay, so which side they stand on?
He's on the right side.
He's on the right side, okay.
Okay. We have assembled here today to celebrate the uniting of E.K. and Kelly in holy matrimony. Marriage is an institution ordained of God and blessed by Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder."
Okay, what therefore, who has joined together?
God
has joined together. So this tells us that any matrimony that we enter in is to be entered in with God as our foundational base, as our everything. So what God has joined together, let what? No man put asunder. Now what man has joined together, some of that stuff need to be broke. Some of that stuff need to be done. I'm serious here. Some of that stuff need to be done away with. Because when God joins us together, we don't enter to any, we don't have to worry about any type of abuse or mistreatment or mishandling of one another. Y'all talk to me. But when man has joined us together, somebody told us we look good together and, you know, he's just leaving one relationship and he wants to be in another. So you all just go ahead and do it. And you do it for all the wrong reasons. You can't say God put you together. When God puts us together, we know that it is him. We know that it's him. I would have never married this man. He had been saved 3 years. I had been saved like 13 to 15 years. So I wouldn't have never looked to him to marry him. It wasn't until God put him in he put him in my spirit, in my heart. And I knew that he was the guy for me. He knew that I was the girl for him, but see, I wasn't messing with him on his side. You know what you do. He say he's saved and I'm saved and two sheets can't dirty one another. The devil is a liar. You understand that two sheets can't dirty one another? Because he's saved and I'm saved, we can still get it on. And guess what? We still clean in the sight of God.
Teach me.
But when he decided that he is going to do the right thing before God, then we knew that we must what? Come together. Amen.
Can I just chime in right quick on that? Okay, I'm 3 years saved. She's 13. I'm very immature. I'm coming out of the world, you know, and I've got these preconceived ideas on how, you know, I think you're supposed to date because, you know, I'm coming out of the world and I'm trying to get close to her. I remember our first date I was with
Randy
from church.
Yeah, and Rudy.
And a good friend of hers.
Absolutely.
You know, we're in the car and next thing you know, let me come over here. Next thing you know, I had a pretty big back seat. So I decided to come on over here like this. Now, granted, I don't even know her like that. This is our first date. But I'm all up on her, brothers, because, you know, that's where I come from. I'm just getting saved. So, and she's like, she gave me this look like, have you lost your mind? Do you know who I am? And I could feel the vibe. She didn't say nothing, but I could just feel. Brothers know what I'm talking about. You're like, I think you better remove your hand from over here, bro. So I gradually, you know, just kind of snuck back on over here. And she set the tone and let me know, I don't roll like that. You just can't roll up on me like that. And so next time, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I like this woman. I like this woman. She ain't feeling me, though. She like, I just want to be your friend. I'm like, I don't want to be your friend. You know, I want you to be my girl. And she wasn't feeling that. Because that whole maturity level wasn't there. But she set the groundwork to let me know I got boundaries. Mm. And because I was just a young Christian, I needed to know that you don't date the same way in Christianity as you do in the world. So I had to get my mind renewed. So I'm thankful for that. So sometimes you got to make sure that maybe both of you are not on the same spiritual level, but somebody's got to be able to set the tone and the boundary and say, you don't go no farther than this. I don't do that, whether it's the woman or the man, but somebody has to, because if you don't, boundaries are going to be crossed, and you're going to end up doing something. So keep. I wanted to just say that, because those things are real. And like I said, she wouldn't even, at the beginning, she wouldn't even let me hold her hand.
Amen.
I'm like, you don't hold hands either? So I'm going down the list, brothers, like, so what do you do?
That's in my mind. No. He says in his mind, what he actually said was, he said, Audrey, you're going to have to let me do something.
I'm just being real, brother. I was a work in progress. So, you know, I'm like, not even a hand. I can't, you know. She said, no, I don't roll like that. Now, I'm thankful because coming out of the world, had I grabbed the hand, come on, brothers. Y'all know hand leads to...
Amen.
You know what I, like we the blind man, like, oh, you know what I mean, brother. So I'm thankful that boundaries were set early. Amen, amen. Just wanted to put that on the side. All right, you want me to keep going?
Okay.
EK and Kelly, as you prepare to take these vows, give careful thought and prayer, for as you make them, you are making an exclusive.
Can you stop right there? You all can be dismissed for right now. I want you two to come. Come on, Debbie. Come on, Andre.
I like this.
You can bring the baby with you, because, you know, sometimes we come into relationships, we ain't by ourselves, no way.
You are preaching.
Get that baby.
Today. You are preaching today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you start at the top of that, where you just left off?
So you want me to do who?
No, just right where you are.
As you prepare to take these vows, give careful thought and prayer, for as you make them, you are making an exclusive commitment one to the other for as long as you both shall live. And it's from that point that I would say, let us pray.
Okay. Come on. Can I get the other EKs? Can y'all come on? This is K. Jr. And I guess his plan is to make her Kelly Jr. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm going to skip. He's his bride. I'll go to the charge. What do you want?
I want you to go back.
I'm going to go back.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes.
As you prepare to take these vows, give careful thought and prayer. For as you make them, you are making an exclusive commitment one to the other for as long as you both shall live. Y'all got some looks on y'all face. The brother's like, man, what am I doing here? Okay. All right. And then I would say, let us pray. I would pray, gracious eternal Father, we humbly beseech thee to acknowledge this special occasion with your divine presence over this ceremony. And then I would say, who gives this bride to be married? And of course, the father or whoever would say, I do. They would be seated. And then we would go to the charge. Mm-hmm. And we would say, EK and Bendu, Andre and Debbie, as I read these scriptures from the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, listen very closely to these words from the Bible. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything.
In everything. Mm. Okay, so, and for those of us who are married, that's that same scripture. It still applies to us. And that's a decision we have to make as to whether we are willing to be submissive. Because Gloria Steinem, what's her name? I got it right. Amen. In this feminist movement, I'm not knocking all of it, because it was necessary because of how men were handling and perceiving women to be. Okay, it should not have been necessary, but unfortunately, because of man's heart, it materialized. But some women are refused to be subject to anybody other than maybe their fathers. Because the truth of the matter is, my sisters, we cannot submit to our husbands until we first submit ourselves unto God. Okay? If you won't listen and hear God, you're not going to listen to hear what EK has to say. So you have to know this ahead of time. How much does she listen to God? Does she obey what she know God is saying? And the answer is no, she don't even listen to God. Then my brother, guess what? I'm going to let you go sit down, because I ain't going to wear you out up here. You don't have to worry about her listening to you, because it ain't going to happen. If he's not submitting himself, am I going ahead?
No, you
could. If he's not submitting himself to God, and you know what God said, then guess what? If he doesn't submit himself to God, he ain't going to submit himself to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. If he's not submitting himself to God, if he's not loving you like Christ loved the church, by taking care of you emotionally and physically, you ain't got nothing to do with that. Okay? Right? Right? Okay. Jeez.
Okay.
Okay, I was trying. You understand? If he's not loving you and adorning you with praises and building you up, not just for his sake, but because of the Bible said this is what he's supposed to do, then guess what? You got to cut that brother short. Amen. Real short. Okay? She's not hearing God. If she's not doing what God has given her to do, if she's not following after him, and you know it already, guess what? Y'all just might need to go and sit down and have some Christian counseling so you can come to terms with some of the things you have to work out in your relationships before you say what? I do. Because once you say I do, you're marrying a totally different person anyway. Why? Because you've never known them as what? Husband and wife.
Right.
You've only known them as what? Good friends, friends with benefits, call it what you may. Y'all can have a seat. Y'all can go have a seat.
That's a good feature,
man. Can I say something to my daughters? Don't get upset when a guy walk out of your life. Don't get upset about it. Don't get upset because your relationship didn't work out. My sons, don't get upset because, you know, she decided to go with, be with somebody else. Don't let that hurt you. If anything, you got to learn to find some joy and a praise in the fact that he packed his stuff and he went along his merry way. He is going to be somebody else's problem and he's no longer yours. So dry your eyes, wipe your face, wash your face, put a smile on your face, and you keep on stepping just like you are the queen that Almighty God created you to be.
Amen.
Let him go. Let it go. It may hurt a little bit, but God knows how to do what? He'll allow hurt. Hallelujah. Sometimes he'll allow folks to hurt us just so that we can be what? Free. We can be what? Healed. We can become what? Whole. I was in the company of a couple that were married. They, you know, for whatever reason, things didn't work out. And he remarried. Right? And we all in this function together. And I'm sitting at the table. And you know me. Let me tell you something. Listen, I'm always watching. It's very seldom you're going to find me asleep. I'm always watching. And she walked by. And the brother that she used to be with was right there. And she walked by looking good and everything. And he goes. I'm like, uh-huh. You don't miss your water till your well run dry. It's too late now, brother. It's all over. Now, I'm going to tell you who else was sitting at the table. And he goes, go this way. It's all over now. It's over. You don't miss your water till your well run dry. That was something that didn't have to be, but it became. But I guarantee you what, if I talk to my friend there, she'll tell you, just leave it alone because it ain't nothing happening over here. It's done with. Sometimes you just got to cut your losses. What you perceive to be losses and keep moving. Go ahead, good Reverend.
Can I chime in on
something? Sure,
sure. I think something that we got to understand, that's why I always say marriage is not for children.
Amen.
And marriage is work. Because the moment you say, you know what, I'm tired of this person, you know, I'm going through these issues with this person, outside of something being physical abuse or let's just say it's adultery, and even adultery, you can get past that. You know, some people can. But if it's just differences in how we do things or communication.
And you want to decide that you're just going to leave?
Well, you can do that. Go ahead and do that. But the next person you get, you're going to have to still work in those areas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Marriage is work. And that's why some people are regretful when they see somebody else and they get somebody else and they say, man, I got the same issue I'm dealing with. Well, it's a couple of things going on there. It's a common denominator. You're the common denominator. You're bringing it there. So you're still going to have to make some adjustments regardless of who you think was the problem. It takes two people to tango. You know, and even though somebody may have done something, you got to look at yourself too and say, what part did I play in it and how could I have done things differently? Because if you don't make those adjustments, you take that into the next relationship, and it becomes a perpetual cycle. Somebody told me this, okay? The grass sometimes looks green on the other side, but can I tell you this? You got to cut it.
That's it. You got to fertilize that grass.
So you got to cut it on this side.
That's it.
And you got to cut it on that side, too. It's the same thing. So since I've been with this one, and, you know, and we got a few issues, I'm going to work on getting this right rather than going across the fence.
And got to start all over again. Y'all had to give God a hand. I mean, once you train that brother, you're not trying to pass him off to somebody else. Y'all talk to me. You know, you got him. You got him. You just right. Brother, you're not trying. Hey, brother, y'all keep looking at him. But you're not trying to train another somebody else. Because she's doing just what you need her to do when she need to do it. Brother didn't say nothing. Okay,
amen,
so let me
amen,
see.
Amen.
Okay. I tell you what. Trade her in and try some of that freaky stuff with her. And she going to look at you like you crazy. And she was like, oh, no, I don't want you. You said, dog, I should have stayed on with Sue. No, Sue said, you gone now. Just because you found that the grass is not as green over there. Y'all talk to me. Don't come back over here in my lawn because I'm going to take out a protective order on you. Don't you come within 6,000 feet of me, as a matter of fact. So it's best to do what? As Pastor said last week, work on your project. Work your project. Make it work. Don't go stepping out on your marriage. Make it work. Now, aside from what? Abuse? I will being involved in drug dealing that can potentially put you and your children and your family in harm's way because a deal goes bad. That's something.
Addictions,
you know, unfortunately destroys relationships. Try to work through some of those things. And if one partner isn't willing to work through life-threatening, harmful, emotionally harmful, and physically harmful behavior, then God did not call you to that. God did not call you to be abused and mistreated. You're not doing God a favor by staying in abusive relationships, my sister, my brother. You're not doing God a favor. God is not happy to see you getting slapped upside your head in your relationship. He's not happy with seeing you getting pushed against the wall and held up by your neck. Y'all talk to me. He doesn't get any joy out of seeing someone force themselves on you in the name of you belong to them. That's not him. That's not him. That's not him to see you go to work and earn money to take care of a man who stays home and plays what? Video games all day. Somebody said that ain't God.
That ain't God.
That ain't God. So you have got to know in a Christian marriage what God expects of you and what he expects of your husband or what he expects from your significant other. Amen. Let's go.
We would have the charge, and the charge would go like this. I now charge you both, as you stand in the presence of God, to remember that true love and faithful observance of your marriage vows are required as the foundation of successful marriage and establishment of a happy and enduring home.
Mm-hmm.
Without these, there can be no real marriage, and the home which you will endeavor to establish will be in a vain effort. Keep the solemn vows you're about to make. Live with tender consideration for each other. Conduct your lives in honesty and in truth, and your marriage will last. This commitment to marriage will be a blessing to you and will be a blessing to others. And at that point, we would go into the actual marriage vows.
Can I just say this? For those of you who are pondering getting married, take a look at each other and have an open dialogue about where you are spiritually and in your obedience to God. And ask yourself, are we ready for this? There's no harm in doing that. It's no harm. As a matter of fact, that's the best thing you can do. Because once you say, I do, somebody say you don't get your money back. But then there are some bank robbers in here. They're going forced to get their money back. Some way, somehow, they're going to get their money back. And it may be at your expense. So ask yourself some critical questions. And it really is going to take you looking at yourself and looking at the person you're planning to marry or you're in a relationship with. Because this is what we have a tendency to do, Elder Gaither. Because we really want to be with a person, and if you're a child of God, God will show you everything you need to know as to whether you should or whether you shouldn't. He's not going, he doesn't hide any of that. He'll speak to your spirit all night long, and guess what? He'll only use a few words and let you know that it is for you or that it's not. He won't allow you to walk into a relationship blind. He will tell you things that you should or shouldn't do. And whether you do them or not is solely what? Up to you. Because what we have a tendency to say, honey, is, oh, no, I can fix that. Oh, she'll change. Yes, okay, she'll change. And that's all she ever saw her mama doing. She ain't changing. The Bible said, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? And the answer is no. You can't do good when evil is all in you. Y'all come and talk to me. You can only pretend to be, but for so long. And my sister, the Lord will show us that, brother. And your pastor or me or somebody will come to you and say, well, you know, is he saved? God bless you, but is he saved?
He say he's saved. He's,
that's the proverbial phrase.
But why do they say he's saved? Because she already know the boy needs Jesus. But she has allowed him a space in her heart that she doesn't now want to, she doesn't want to deal with. That's why I said, don't give nobody your heart. Don't give your heart away. Don't give it away. If you're a young lady, you let your heart still belong to God, your father. And if your father is not where he should be, give your heart to Jesus. And ask him to cover your heart. Young men, the same thing. Don't give your heart away. Don't allow them to become friends with what? Then you don't have no benefits over here. No benefits. No benefits. Because when you give benefits, as women, when we give you benefits, we're giving you more. We're giving you something else. We're saying, we're giving you permission to hurt us. We're giving you permission to talk to us any kind of way. We're not asking for that. But you can do it, and guess what? We still give you benefits. And before you know it, we are in a place where we hurt because we gave ourselves away.
Can I say something?
Yes.
You said something there. It's important that we don't give the benefits before we tie covenant, because with guys, we can give our body and not our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Women, when you give your body, it's attached to your heart.
Yeah.
And you think that we love you because you gave up your most precious thing. But we can say, I love Mary, but I have sex with Betty. Yeah. Because men don't give their hearts. They don't necessarily have to do that. That's why you need to make sure that you don't get involved in sexual intercourse before, because it will muddy, not only the sin, but it'll muddy up the waters. Because now your emotions are in there now. And even though everybody is telling you, hey, girlfriend, you need to back up on that. That ain't, I see something. Nah, he loves me. And you can't make a sound decision because the waters are muddy because you have allowed yourself to engage in sexual intercourse, given your heart. Now, it's hard to take it back because guys, I mean, he'll play on you. You know I love you, baby. You know, but when we gonna get married, baby? You know, I'm still working on some things right now. But you know, when things clear up a little bit, you know, I'm gonna do that thing.
Talking about he gonna divorce his wife. That man ain't trying to divorce his wife for you. How long y'all been together? We've been together for 5 years, and he's been telling you what? I'm a divorce. That man is not gonna divorce that woman. Why? Because he loves Mary. He just want to play with Sue.
And here's the other thing. If he's going to divorce her to come with you,
you are not
wanting. You think he ain't going to divorce you? Come on, somebody. Y'all better wake up. You better wake up. Amen. If he's not renewed in his mind, things are going to continue to be the same with you as well as with his ex-wife.
Yeah. We're going to move on, but I want to say this real quick. If he has children and you know he's not paying his child support, and he doesn't take no time to go and see little Johnny, his men and him, or, you know, you understand? If he doesn't do what he needs to do with that, then guess what? He's not going to do what he needs to do with you and your baby.
Whoa, that's a good.
If he can neglect his baby, and you see that, and you enable that, and you marry him, guess what? He's going to neglect you and your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because your babies are going to need what? Milk? Your baby going to need that $15 a bottle formula. Y'all talk to me. Just like his baby did. Now, if he didn't make sure his babies on this side had them, what make you think he's going to make sure your babies got them? Y'all talk to me.
Can we just be real?
Amen. Amen.
Before we tie our covenant, guys, most of you know my testimony. You know, I had kids out of wedlock. You know, I was rolling. Okay, I'm not proud of it, but I'm just being transparent. Hopefully, I can help somebody to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things that she asked me, because this woman had character, she said, you take care of your babies? I said, yeah. You pay your child support? I said, where this woman coming from all of them? But I said, yeah, I do all of that, you know. And she was saying, now, you show that relationship is still not there. Is there any hope there? And this is after I got saved. And I said, you know, I've tried, you know, I apologize, but, you know, she doesn't really want to have any relationship with me based on the hurt that I put out there. So I understood that. But she wanted to make sure that if there was, then I wanted you to be with your family over here. Okay, but if you want to be with me, I want to make sure that you're doing right by your own kids, because if we have kids and you ain't doing right by your kids from this previous relationship, what makes you think you're going to do right by me? And sometimes the telltale signs are right there before us, brothers and sisters, and we fail to acknowledge them. But I'm thankful that she had character from that standpoint to say, okay, let me see what you're about, boy. Because if he ain't gonna put milk on the table of the ones he already had, what makes you think he's gonna put milk
absolutely
on the table?
Absolutely.
That's just the way it is.
Amen.
You want me to keep going?
Yes, please.
So we would go to the marriage vows, and this is what the preacher would say, something like this: John, do you take Jane as your wife, as your own flesh, to love her even as Christ loved the church, to protect her and care for her for the rest of your life? And I would say, if so, respond by saying, I do. And then if he says, I do, then we would go to the next one. We would say, I, John, according to the word of God, leave my father and my mother, and I join myself to you to be a husband to you, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. From this moment forward, we shall be one. Then I would go to the bride and say, Jane, do you take John as your husband, submitting yourself to him as unto the Lord, showing reverence to him as the head of this union for the rest of your life? If so, respond by saying, I do.
And if she says I do, then I would say, repeat after me. I, Jane, according to the word of God, submit myself to you, to be a wife to you, for better or for worse.
Somebody said for worse. Okay, you can say for better and for worse. Say better for. Okay, but I want to talk about the worst. What is the worst? What is the worst? Because now we're all married, right? And we know what the better is, right? But let's, what does that scripture mean? Not that scripture, because many of these vows, we cannot find them written verbatim in scripture, but we can infer in the text. Or we can not only infer, we know the heart of God when it comes to his bride. Amen? Just as we as the bride, we're supposed to submit ourselves to God. As wives, we submit ourselves to our man God. Little G-O-D. Because, you know, sometimes they may think they're the real, you know, thing. But to the little G-O-D, our Lord. Let's put it that way. Okay? So... we are a type of Christ in the church. But let's talk about the worst. What is the worst? Give me some ideas of what you are thinking out there. What do you see as the worst? Said, because we know what better is the worst. Come on, somebody, just throw something. Adultery, worse, okay? When the money looks funny, worse, okay? Anybody else? Come on, y'all. Illnesses, worse, okay. Sickness, okay. Anybody else worse? Baby, somebody give that girl a hand. She said baby mama. I call it baby daddy mama drama. Amen. Worse, somebody say worse. Somebody said real bad. Amen. Anybody else? Better for worse. Loss of employment. How about addiction? Come on. That's worse, isn't it? Better or worse, okay? Now, we're talking about staying in this union for better or for worse. We're looking at worse. Physical abuse. Now, that's horrible, isn't it? Okay? Is God calling you to stay in there to keep getting your brains beat out? Getting your eyes black? Y'all talk to me. Getting you punched in the gut? Y'all talk to me. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yes.
No, absolutely. Y'all talk to me. Calling you everything but the queen that God created you to be. The loving woman that God calls daughter. The worst. Having you go to work, taking all of your earnings, using it to buy drugs, to wine and dine other women. Because that's worse. But did God call you to that? Did God call you to those? No, he did not. That's not the worst that is meant. And you correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the one that been marrying these folks. He gets to marry him, and I get to sit in on marriage counseling with him. I want to say, no, you married him. You figured that out. You know, but no. So, worse. That's not the worst that the ministers are talking about when they marry folk. That's not worse. That's not just worse. Guess what? When you mistreat your bride to those extents, you have already left your relationship. In the realm of the spirit, your relationship has already been divorced. Was that deep or what? When you beat me to a pulp, blacked my eye, hit me in my gut, took me just because you say I'm your wife and you have a right to me, guess what? You have already filed for divorce. Because God doesn't recognize that union. He looks down and he sees that. He says, that's not what I created. That's not of me. That's of what? Something else. Let that sit with you for a moment.
That's good.
Let him think about that just for a quick moment. When God looks at my relationship and how I treat my wife, how I respond to my wife, how I treat my children, does he look and say that? And I'm not talking about the arguments and the disagreements that we may have, because the statistics says that you're allowed to have hundreds of them during the course of a year. And if you have them during the course of the year, your disagreements during the course of the year, you're less likely to become divorced. So I'm not talking about those things. We're talking about those things that demean the very humanity of your spouse. When God sees your relationship, what, Brandon, does he say about your relationship? Deacon Beresford, what does he say? When he sees it, what is his thoughts toward how you treat Sabrina? What are his thoughts? What is his facial expression? What does his heart say? Hallelujah.
Because the truth is, the moment that we do something like that and that's our behavior, then we're in sin. And remember, Christ never sins against his church. So, yeah, you've broken covenant there. So when we look at that verse is about challenging things that couples will come up against. Maybe it's a financial challenge. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a job loss. But verse is never about abusing the church. Because Christ never abuses
He never
his
abuses
church.
Us.
He never,
never
hurts his church.
Never.
He never abandons his church. So that's not the worst. So when people say, well, you know, better or worse, no, because sometimes we think if we don't know the scriptures that we're supposed to stay regardless.
Mm-hmm.
No, would Christ kill his church? No, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. Would he have his church living in fear and intimidation? No, no. We wouldn't even serve Christ if we felt like, man, I'm intimidated, I have to stay here. That's a cult. So, you know, marriage is a cult. Your marriage is a cult. Your brainwashed. No, that's not Christ. None of those things are Christ. The moment we step outside of that word, we're in sin and we're breaking covenant. Simple as that.
Somebody, can we just bless God right there a little bit? Because at the end of the day, we want to please God in every area of our lives. And God many times look at us when we have our families. Look at us. Look at me, how I treat my husband, how I respond to his needs, how I submit myself to him. Now, sometimes I'm telling you, it's not always that easy to be submissive.
It's not?
Not always. Not always. Not always.
The sister's looking out there.
Not always. Because, you know, sometimes men just like to have it their way. Come on, y'all talk. Now, if you're not afraid that he's going to go home and mistreat you because you're saying amen to a certain part of the scripture, then y'all need help.
So we get Burger King when we married?
No, when we first got married, you had it your way. But then when I got a little seasoned, a little older, whatever... I realized that I did not lose myself when I said I do, and we're not supposed to.
Amen.
We're supposed to still have ideas and desires and wannabes and aspirations. You know what I mean? Even after we say I do. You know, because we go in, whatever he wants, I'm doing it. I'm keeping the house clean. He's never going to want, and this is what I said, my husband is never going to have a need for a clean shirt. I'm going to make sure, and I did that. But then I realized this dude can take his stuff to the cleaners. He can do certain things. you know, he can, there's some things that he can do to help in this process. So, so I kind of pulled back some. Yeah, so, but at any rate.
Cover?
I did for a while, but now that I'm the age that I am, all the more reasons why I see that, you know, he can cook, he can, you know, if your brother get hungry, he don't have to starve. He can go and, you know, go to a cake and go get it. But before I made sure the food was on, his mama messed him up, but his food and everything was right there on the cabinet when he got home from work. But then he decided to go to school and take a class. And the teacher told them that the food shouldn't be sitting out for a certain length of time. So he went, not too long ago, he went and grabbed the food. So honey, my professor said X, Y, and Z. And he took it, ready-made plate, and he stuck it in the refrigerator. I said, that's the last time. That professor come here and make your food when you're ready for it.
Bro, I messed that one up. I dropped the ball on that one. Like, oh man, why did I say that? Then I come home like, where my plate?
This is true. He come home looking on the camera and said, where the food? He said, honey, what's for dinner? I said, it's down in the refrigerator. He opened the refrigerator. I got a container here and a container there. He said, he's looking for a plate. He said, but I was, looking for the plate. I said, the plate is in the cabinet. You go get that and then you take the food.
And I'm going to say, this is how that works. Thank you, baby. You trained me.
Yeah.
You retraining me.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
After 31 years, brothers, y'all can say whatever. You get trained.
And vice versa. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you can't stay together if you're not willing to go through that school. it is what it is, brothers. It is what it is. And I have no shame. I'm trained. Because I figured after 31 years, if something was to happen to her, I mean, I'd be like a fish out of water, like, okay. How do you date one? I wouldn't even know how to do that. Two, okay, I got to tell you what I want or what I don't like, and I don't want to have to go through that, So we're going to ride this thing out.
We're going to ride it right out.
I'm just being honest. Because she knows what I like and what makes me tick. I know what she likes and what makes her tick. I ain't got to be like, oh, you're on the wrong side, baby. Somebody else. Oh, no, come up. No, don't. I ain't got time for that. Y'all come up higher. See, some of y'all went somewhere that you shouldn't have went. Anyway. Okay, where am I at, honey? Oh, presenting wing. You want me to go there?
We're going to just say, then we have the ring ceremony.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And the vows for the ring? You want to go to the line number?
Okay, yeah, let's do the ring. Let's do this part.
Okay, all right. Right, so the next part would be the ring ceremony, which is the exchanging of the rings. And I would say to the groom, let's call him John, we'll say, take this ring, place it on her finger, and repeat after me.
Mm-hmm.
With this ring, I beware. It is a token of my love for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I would then tell the bride, take your ring and put it on the groom's hand, on his finger, and repeat after me. With this ring, I be wed. It is a token of my love for you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because the ring symbolizes that you have a covenant now. You've made vows to one another. Now you are actually in covenant. So when we see that ring, when somebody sees that ring on my finger, it's saying that I'm no longer on the market. I belong to Audrey Walker Harris. We are in covenant. When they see her ring, the brother can, he may like how she shape and, how she does that thing. But at the end of the day, that ring says, sorry, bro, you can't touch that. Like Hammer, you can't touch that because she belongs to Archie Harris. Now, if you touch that, you're touching it at your own risk. Because I may not stay sane. Because this belongs to me. Just like I'm not going to touch yours, because that belongs to you. It's rings on this finger. And what you need to say is, when the girl looking at you, isn't that right, bro, Marvin? I just might stand up, Marvin.
Amen.
Stand up.
Amen.
That's the last ceremony I perform. Now, your wife is beautiful. Stay there. But... let me see that ring. When they see that ring, you're saying to you, you belong to whom? What's his name? Say your... Go ahead. That's and when they see him, you can say you belong to who? Come on, give the Lord a praise for them.
Now, I must say that we've done quite a few weddings, and you know, quite a few of them. And if there is one wedding or wedding ceremony that we perform, that I feel real good about, the Bethesda union together. I feel real good about that. And not just because I feel good and I love them, but because that was a God thing. That was a God thing. I mean, she married a man of God. She met a man with a good heart, a man that desires to do good. I'm saying some things right now. Amen. And is yet to be revealed as to what some of those things are. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Young couple starting out. Wonderful thing. Okay. You want me to go into the right now?
So when we get married and we come together, amen, there are certain things that happen in different ceremonies. I'm just going to use this because I can, and if I'm getting in trouble, then, you know, we could have a conversation about me, you know, putting stuff out there, but I'm not calling no names. But I went to this one marriage ceremony, and they were doing the, you know, some people do the lighting of the candles, others do the sand, okay? And in this particular time, they were giving to do the sand. Now, I'm sitting in this wedding, and I'm just not feeling it. I was just there. I'm going to just be honest with you. I was just there because I already knew in the spirit what I knew. And sometimes I didn't even want to go to the marriage counseling sessions because I just knew that God ain't had nothing to do with that. But it happened. Don't act like you knew what you supposed to have been doing all the time. And, you know, God didn't tell you some things, but you just walked on in them anyway. You know, God just uses people to speak to us, to give us some knowledge of his heart. And then it's all up to us whether we heed those words. Well, I'm sitting in there, and I'm just not feeling it. I'm just there cuz. I'm the pastor's wife. And cuz I just happen to love one of the parties. So I'm sitting in there, and the whole ceremony, I'm just sitting. Then they got ready to do the sand ceremony. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Lord, this ain't cool. This is just ain't cool. Excuse me, I know how to speak. I know I shouldn't say ain't. But I want to say ain't. Because it won't cool. So they get up and they start pouring the sand. My heart broke. I'm just going to be honest. My heart broke. Can you read that part? And you know, let me get somebody. Do we have a dynamic couple in here who want to illustrate this? Come, yeah. Mr. Lemon, can you come and help the sister out? Amen. Let's bless God for these newlyweds. Amen. As long as you guys stay in the face of God, you'll be okay. Get that foundation. Keep that foundation, build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be okay. It's going to work out of love and respect. No matter what your differences are, you can work through it. Not to say that you have differences now, but if you married like we were married, there's some differences somewhere. Because, you know, even if it's about the remote control, you know. Okay. So we need you to help us. Can you lead them into that part of the ceremony?
Yes, I will. Okay. First name would be Tyrell.
Kelly.
This is what we would say when we would get to the unity candle portion of the ceremony. Tyrell, Kelly, both have chosen to light the unity candle. Before you light the unity candle.
And in this case, we're going to
use the water.
We're going to use this clear liquid, okay?
So just envision that's candle and two candles on both sides. Before you light the unity candle, let me share with you what the candles represent. The two outside candles have been lit to represent your lives up to this moment. They are two distinct lights, each representing separate lives capable of living independent of one another. To bring the happiness God designed for your home, there must be the merging of these two lights, or where we're looking at these
liquids.
Okay? There must be the merging of these two liquids into one liquid. That's what I will say that. This is what the Lord meant when he said, on this account, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. From now on, your thoughts shall be for each other rather than for your individual selves. Your plans shall be mutual. Your joys and sorrows shall be shared. As you each take a candle or a liquid and together light the center one, or pour that into there and extinguish your own candle, you will be letting the center candle represent the union of your life into one flesh.
Okay, let's just do this. Can you take this? And can you take this? And I want you to turn around and face the audience. Can you get this on a Facebook and YouTube and all the other outlets? Because we got their testimony. We finna work them for the rest of their lives. Because, you know, once you put it out there, it's out there forever, right? Gotcha. Okay, so, yeah, so we're not using candles. And I could have very well. I have plenty of candles we could have used. But I didn't want to use candles. I wanted to use this. Because now they are in the process of becoming what? One. Not one. They're not just one yet. But they're... are what? Becoming one. And when we talk about becoming one, when we are two separate, distinct instruments of matter, something has to happen in order for two things to become what? One. And that is, many times, it takes what? Brokenness. You understand? Brokenness. The things that we argue about, the things that our differences that we have, and you know, trying to find common ground, brokenness, and becoming. So they are in the process of what? Becoming one. And this is going to be symbolic of your becoming. When you all got married, did you all just do this part of the ceremony?
Yes,
you did the candles. Okay, okay. All right, that's good. That's good. That's fire. Yeah, that's fire hurts. Okay. It's painful, right? And you all did the candles. Right? All right. All right. So when the fire comes and it starts hurting real bad, and you know what I mean? What do you do? You blow that flame out, don't you? You blow that candle out. No, you better let that candle keep right on burning, because that's what y'all use. Just because it's hard, don't blow it out. Don't try to put a lid on it and, you know, see how you smother the light. No, you don't do that. Let it keep on burning. Let that flame keep burning in spite of the things you might find yourselves up against in life. Okay? So here we go. Now they are what? Becoming. So I want you to go ahead. Becoming. Oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness. Phew. Okay. Now, somebody give God a hand praise. Stay right there. Okay, so now things are just not going. They've been married for a day and a half and things aren't going good. You know, things aren't going good. They got some differences. Whatever differences are, they exist, right? So now what they have to do, because they're just not happening. That was a day and a half after the ceremony. Now this is 5 years, 10 years after the ceremony. And things are still just, I mean, it's something different, but it's always what? Something. Okay, so now, y'all not getting along together. So you want your water back. But you cannot have the water that she put in here. You only can take the water that you put in here. So now what I want you to do is take this glass, and I want you to distinguish the water that you put in here from the water that... Y'all talk to me. Go ahead, because you're tired of her. She just got on your last nerve. Just get your water. No. Not her water. You just got to get your water. The water that came out of your cup.
Impossible.
Impossible? Okay, well, you know, women, we got a tendency to make things worse. Get your water. Your water. Because you know what? He's just a guy on your last nerve. You have talked about it, prayed about it, and come on. And you can't seem to get in that. You went to counseling the whole nine yards. And it's still not working. Take your water back. No. I told you. Look, sister's always got to. Now, you see, let me tell you something. That's one thing about a sister. One thing about a woman. If there's a will, what? There's a way.
I'm going to take your money. Oh, she gonna, I'm going to take your car.
As a matter of fact, Alice, she says, I don't want half. I want 99.9% of everything. Okay, so let's give God a hand praise right there. You guys can be seated if you could just put that there. So this is what many of us did when we entered into our covenant. Okay, whether we did an exercise with this or not. When we get married, we are on the road to becoming what? One. When I sat through that ceremony that I was telling you about, and I saw those saying, that saying going into a mutual container, I'm like, I couldn't tell her saying from his saying. I can't tell his water from her water. So now what in the world do you do when you said I do and you have become or you're becoming one? And things just ain't good. What do? You tired of him coming in late. You're tired of him not showing up at all. You're tired of her not taking care of the kids. You're tired of her not, you know, being your wife and giving up the wifely duties. Now, you may not be so tired until it comes to you want to pour out the whole glass. But the question still remains, what am I to do? How do I address it? The world said, well, if it don't shoe don't fit, don't wear it. Just leave. But no, these are things that can be worked out. We have to be willing to have them work. There's going to be some give and take on both sides. Men, you have to understand her. And sisters, daughters, you have to understand him. When you married that man, and y'all got together, you became familiar with his needs and his desires and his, how do I want to say this? How many times he want to do whatever he want to do? Okay, he's got a sex drive that, you know.
It's high.
Okay, so you talk and you all try to figure out, you know, how you're going to make that happen. So when you figure out how you're going to make it happen, you got to be present with them, and you got to do it. Not grudgingly. And he understands that you're tired. He understands that. But on the other hand, he needs you to cover him from that loose woman who's already been around the office. And she's been pulling. Come on, Ella. You go with. She's been pulling at you. Come on, Ella. Don't you think nobody got their eyes on this man? Don't you think for one moment? Hallelujah. So what he? There are times when he may be asking you, I know you're tired, but I need you to cover me. I need to be empty when I leave the house. Y'all talk to me.
That's awesome.
You know, don't send me out of the house full. Don't send me out longing. You know what I mean? Help me. And vice versa, she's saying to him, I need you to tell me how beautiful I am. I need you to tell me how special I am. I need to know that you really do appreciate what I bring to the table. You understand? I appreciate how you build me up. She needs that from you because there is Slick Johnny. I don't care where you go. Slick Johnny is sitting right here in the church today. Slick Johnny, y'all, come on. Slick Johnny and Silly Sue, they're right here in this congregation. That spirit is right here today. If you don't build her up, if you don't make her feel some kind of way, there's somebody else, my brother, that will. Well, you know, she says, well, you know, I'm married. He said, but are you happy? You may be married, but you, that don't mean you're happy. And if you're not happy, then I'm this slick Joe to help you to be. Come on, somebody. And she keeps flirting with you, and she keeps flirting with you in the office. She keeps, oh, is there anything you want me to do? Anything else? Anything else? Anything? Every time you turn around, your cell phone ringing, and there's her on the other line saying this, that, and the other. This, that, and the other. When she don't have to, she, you know, brothers, you know when she's going out her way. You know. She owns something else, as they say. She's on something. And I don't mean drugs. You know that. So we need each other to cover. We have to cover what? One another. We have to cover one another. We have to be available to one another. So that you don't have to go back and try to what? To get your water back. You don't have to go back and try to pick your sand. You don't have to go back and try to get your flame from his flame. Because the truth of the matter is, when you do the lighting of the candle, if you put out your light, his light, what? Automatically goes. If you try and get your liquid back, his liquid, what? Automatically, what? Goes. Keeping in mind with these scenarios and the things we talked about here on today, let me say to you, God has not called you to be in an abusive relationship. He's called you to be in a marriage where the husband loves the wife as Christ loves the church, and the woman submits herself to her husband as she submits herself to her God. Give God a hand of praise right there.
That's good. Baby.
Amen.
That's good. Anything else?
We're done.
You're done? We're done?
We're going to pronounce you.
We would say, it is my humble. At that point, I